Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at Harrisonburg and our Elkton campus at 9 or 10:30 a.m. or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45 a.m. Explore to celebrate recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Hey, I'm Angela, and I am usually at Harrisonburg, but I'm so thankful that I get to be a part of this family as well and get to be here often, and so humbled and blessed that I get to bring the Word of God. It's only because of Him. And before I move on, this was not part of what I was going to say this morning, but can we just give God praise of this young couple sitting on the front row here? Praise the Lord. You want to talk about miracles. Now, if you wanted to just help my sermon this morning, I tell you what. Thank y'all for being an example of God's miracle. And Maddie, you have testified and given Him all the glory and all of it so beautifully. So praise God. Keep moving, Lord. Keep moving. All right. Before I get into the Word, I just want to invite you guys. We have an invitation from Harrisonburg. We're going to be having a spiritual renewal, or as most of us would call it, a revival coming up in September the 18th and 19th, and we will be having dinner at Harrisonburg and invite you to join us. There'll be more details to come, but I wanted you guys to mark your calendars and plan on joining us for end of summer spiritual renewal. All right. As we jump back in to our series on the miracles of Jesus, I have a question for you this morning. How many of you are currently asking why in a situation in your life? Are there any whys in the room? If you have kids, you probably deal with answering why really often, or grandkids. I'll give you a few at my house lately. Why can't I have a treat right before bed? No, I don't want a good snack. Why can't I have something yummy? Why do I have to go to bed right now? The sun is still out. Why can't we do that right now? Right now, Mama. Why are Bubby and Sissy on summer break and I'm not? Why do I still have to go to school? I even ask sometimes why I can't eat cookies like I did 20 years ago and they land the same. Some of you all understand that. And Mama, why did God create stink bugs? In case you're wondering, I tell my kids that must have come after the fall, okay? That must have come after the fall. Or you may be asking some whys in more tender spaces this morning. Why is my child struggling with this challenge? Why is his business successful and I'm just making ends meet? Why hasn't God healed me? Why is my marriage in such a mess? Or why won't this difficult season just end? Anybody? Why? Why is ultimately necessary in our life? And it's a question we have to ask as we navigate. But I would also ask you this morning, has why ever blocked your view? Has it blinded you? Or has it kept you stuck where you are? As we look at the story of healing of the man born blind, I'm going to challenge us this morning to ask a different question. What? What can God do? Let's pray again. Lord, help us this morning. I admit to you, Lord, that this message has been tender. Pastor Jared and I have talked a lot this week, and we've wrestled and talked through this. And Lord, I just pray that we would bring you glory this morning as I bring your word. Let your Holy Spirit just have your way, Lord, in it. Just have your way in it. And Lord, I pray, Lord, you know every need, every heart in this room. You know where they are in the midst of their miracle. And I pray, Jesus, that you would just meet them where they are. Lord, we praise you this morning, and we pray that you would have your way and open our eyes. In your holy name, amen. All right. As we dive into John 9, let's shift our view again from why to what in Christ. Let's break down and talk through this powerful story. We're going to go a little old school and do a little Bible study model this morning. So I would ask you to join me in John 9. A lot of the scripture will be on the screen this morning. Starting in verse 1, as he went along, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" So right off the bat, we get a why. This chapter starts off that way. Why is he blind? So Jewish beliefs say it was sin. Either his parents' sin or this man's even before birth. Now, neither this man nor his parents sinned, Jesus said, but this happened so that the works of God may be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. And while I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus does not address the why here. He simply sees and takes an opportunity to reveal his glory. A platform to reveal to those around him and to us his power. Now, of course, sin in our lives can cause illness and sin, but that is not the truth in this story this morning. After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Jesus sees a need, a blind beggar. He has just reminded us of his purpose on earth to be the light of the world. So we have just heard that he brings light, and then he spits on the ground, makes mud, and puts it on the man's eyes. Now, I'm just going to be fully transparent with you this morning and tell you two things that I thought of when I read this scripture. First, I hated being spit washed as a child. I can still see it. Some of you get this. Maybe you didn't have to endure this as a child. But I can still see my mama licking her thumb with what seemed like force and coming at me like she was ready for a fight, right? Oh, God rest her soul, but I can still see it. And I will tell you this, I vowed I would never do that to my children. And I just must apologize this morning. Because when you're at Target and the face is dirty, you break out the spit, right? So it's just the truth. One of them, who's age 5, will still be enduring that for a while, I'm sure. The other, though, is that Jesus will go through spit and mud to meet me where I am. Now, you won't find this in commentary. I've read a lot of it over the last couple weeks. You won't find this, but it's a reminder to my heart. The Lord has certainly met me in the dirt. On to verse 7. Go, he told him. Wash in the pool of Siloam, which the word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. This is often an instruction in Scripture. Go. Take the first step and then see what God's power can do. Jesus also uses this opportunity as the Feast of Tabernacles because the city would have been packed. People would have been everywhere around this pool, and he sent this man to go find the pool with mud still stuck to his eyes and he couldn't see. But what he was a display of God's grace. He was a billboard making his way to that pool. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging said, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that it was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes open?" they asked. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and I washed, and then I could see." "Where is the man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. Let's take a step back and take note that the man did not see Jesus, but he obeyed and did as he said. Nothing held him back in the light of hope. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus has made the mud and opened the eyes was the Sabbath. Jesus did this about 7 times in Scripture, healed on the Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I wash, and now I see." I love this about our Lord. He can't be limited, and he can use anything to accomplish his mission of love. Let me say that again. Oh, Lord, our Lord cannot be limited. Do we believe that this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He can't be limited, and he can and will use anything to accomplish his mission of love. some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." Jesus healed on the Sabbath because needs know no calendar. Right? Needs know no calendar. It's important to know that Jesus did not break the law here. He used the opportunity to show the religious leaders that their interpretation of the law was putting policy before people. He took this opportunity to call out their hypocrisy. But others ask, "How can a sinner perform such signs?" So they were divided. They turned again to the blind man. This poor man was questioned over and over. He just wanted to celebrate his healing, right? "What can you say to him? What can you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He is a prophet." They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son? Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see?" "We know he is our son," the parents answered, "and we know that he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age, and he will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." Can we say here that the why had them stuck? The Pharisees tried to muddy the story because they wanted to disprove that Jesus was the Messiah. See, this is all in God's plan, right? This is part of the story of our redemption. And throughout their investigation, they prove over and over their own spiritual blindness. A second time, they summons a man. I think it was like 50th by then. It says second, but goodness. "Give glory to God by telling the truth," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Then they ask him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" And he answered, I'm sure he's shaking his head by here now and just ready to shake them. He said, "I've told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again?" I love this part. "Do you want to become his disciples too?" I tell you, I think after that many times of being asked, I would have gotten sassy, right? I mean, how many more times are you going to ask me? Just believe. So the truest miracle begins here. Though he had not seen Jesus, his heart had chosen Jesus. He's proclaiming, "I see and I want more of this." He might not have even known that this was happening in his heart yet, but he said, "I want more of this grace, this truth, this hope, this Jesus." Then they hurled insults at him. "You are this fellow's disciple. We are the disciples of Moses. I know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fella, we don't even know where he comes from." Can we say blind, afraid, stuck? The man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to a godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." Exactly, guys, this morning, exactly. What can God do? The impossible. The impossible. To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking to you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Praise Jesus. Jesus met him again in his need, but this time in his greatest need. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into the world, so that the blind will see, and those who will see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him, and they said, and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" I'm like, finally, somebody's getting a little clue and listening there. Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." As this story wraps up, we've been privileged to see and witness the greatest miracle of all. The truly greatest miracle of all. The eyes of his heart were opened. This is exactly how I met Jesus. In my need. He met me there, and then beyond the momentary need, he met my greatest need. I received a Savior. The same is true of the blind beggar. Jesus saw him, and even before he could see Jesus, he trusted. And that is simply faith. He let him meet him where he was, and when Jesus said go, he went. The man obeyed. At that point, his journey of faith began. And then against culture and religion and family, he says, I don't want to miss what's in front of me. The power and the hope and the love of Jesus. The healing the man experienced was God's grace on display, pointing each of us to an even greater grace that Jesus has to offer. There's a quote from the forgotten Jesus that says, the healing of the man born blind is proof of who Jesus is. But it is also a picture of our salvation. Let us not miss this. The man could see for the first time in his life, and in a matter of minutes, the scales of his heart, the eyes of his heart, they fell away. Let's watch this video.
Okay. This is a big buildup.
Yes. So we all pitched in, we're all very excited. Your siblings we're all happy to be a part of this.
Well, now, read this first.
Do what?
Put your sunglasses, they're sunglasses, Dad.
Sunglasses that help you see normal color.
For people that are colorblind.
So good for colorblindness.
Colorblind glasses.
Let's see if they work.
That's how the rest of the world sees.
Can you see color?
Like it's true. It's
so blue.
What color is that?
That's blue.
Go give Papa a hug, babe.
Peyton, come here. Go give Papa
that
a hug.
That is overwhelming.
I was going to say, what color?
Peyton, stop throwing them at Papa.
Peyton, stop throwing them balloons.
Go sit with Lala.
Papa can't see color. Papa can't see color, so he can see now color with those glasses. Look at all of them. This is blue, this is yellow, this is red, that's green, that's purple, that's orange.
Give Papa a big hug, Peyton.
Merry Christmas, Papa.
There was a special Christmas gift we could give you is to try to see color.
Yeah. So the man in our story was about to embark on the journey of a lifetime, and he had been given true vision. I would imagine the reaction we just saw resembles the reaction of his heart. Our prayers will be filled with the same overwhelming gratitude for what we get to see through Christ. My hope is that all of us in this room can say, I once was blind, but now I see. I would beg of you, if you have not let Jesus restore your spiritual sight this morning, don't leave this place without inviting him in. Let him make you a miracle on this 13th day of July. Let this be the day your sight is made new. Now, if I can be completely honest this morning, I would like for the sermon to stop right there. We can celebrate the victory of what the Lord has done and go home or go to 33 Burgers, which is hopeful what I get to do today. And And some of you may say, okay, you can end the sermon. That's good. We'll get a head start, Angela. But I know that as much as this scripture brings the greatest truth of all time, it leaves some of us back at the why. Why hasn't he touched me with mud? You may be saying, Angela, I believe in his power this morning. He is my Lord. I am his, but I'm still asking why he hasn't removed this cancer, this illness. Why hasn't he healed this broken relationship, and why is my child still wayward? Why? First, I want to encourage you, don't stop approaching the throne of grace, believing and knowing and proclaiming his power. I fully believe, and we as Nazarenes believe, he is a miracle-working God. Look over here. He is still working miracles in our lives, and there is nothing our God cannot do. But the lingering of why sometimes of his answer, no, or wait, I don't know. I don't fully know. But what I do know is that he is sovereign, and he works for our good. He loves you deeper than anyone and wants the truest miracle, and he wants you in relationship with him as your Lord and Savior. What I can share with you is that regardless of what I have faced, his grace has been sufficient for me. He's in our details, and even in the midst of this broken down, sin-filled, hurting world, his grace is sufficient for you as well. As I prepared this message, the Lord reminded me of a habit that I've developed in prayer that honestly I'm a bit embarrassed to share with you all this morning. My prayer sometimes goes like this: Lord, we need you. We need you in this. Please draw us closer. And Lord, or but Lord, if we don't have to go through something really painful to get there, that'd be great. Anybody ever prayed that? And then I often, sometimes reluctantly, add, your will be done. Here's what I know in my heart this morning, though it's not always what I request. I grow closer to Jesus in my need and my pain. It's been true of me all of my life. It is the way I have stayed dependent on him, and I wouldn't change a thing. Nothing I have faced would be worth the exchange of truly knowing him. In those places, that is where I've received true healing. He is at work with great purpose, and the result is him. And while he is at work, he never left me. And I discovered his grace is sufficient for me. As we close, let's take a quick look at our friend Paul in 2 Corinthians 12. We find that Paul had cried out 3 times for the thorn of his flesh to be removed, and the Lord responded, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and in hardships and in persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Lord, help us to believe and know that even in the waiting, you are at work. As we seek and we see what all God can do, we experience miracles all along the way. Give us eyes to see. Who needs to continue to seek a miracle this morning? I know last week you put some of those needs of miracles in these buckets, and we still need those. Who needs to trust him for the miracle of strength in the waiting? As we worship this morning, I invite you to declare, "I trust your strength is made perfect in my weakness. If not, Lord, I want to believe it." I have a scripture card for you on the table under the cross and at the back tables, both as a reminder, but as an opportunity for you to declare, "I want all you have for me, Lord. And I want your miracle working strength. I need that. And I need you." So as we sing, I ask that you will step out of your seat and come and take a scripture card and signify your cry to Jesus this morning. Let's pray. Dear Lord, as we begin to worship you again, I pray, God, that we can just worship you knowing that because of you, we can see. Lord, we can see the hope of eternity where all the healing will take place. All of that will happen, Lord, but we don't have to wait because you are Lord of our lives and you don't leave us or forsake us. Father God, we need your strength this morning. Lord, though many of us just want that healing or that fix right now, God, and it's okay for us to come to you and ask you, Lord, we pray that we can walk in knowing that you are all we need, even in the waiting. We bless you this morning. Help us to cry out to you as we worship.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button to stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.